All right, we are live here with a Schloss rant. Week 15 of the National Football League season. Cousin Johnny is jumping in here. Or is this an audit meeting?
No, well, we'll see. Once this is all said and done, we might be getting audited for going 5-0 in our picks today. But we'll see how that goes.
We'll see how that goes. Why don't you tell everyone why I asked if this was an audit meeting? I think that there was an incident that went down earlier this week.
Well, I caused the what I would call is the Mustafa Player of the Week. And what I did was I signed into my wife Emily's laptop with the name Cousin Johnny. And what happened was she signed into an audit committee meeting with several Board of Trustees members.
Don't name the company. Don't name the company. It's
no,
a big
no,
one.
No name dropping.
It's
and
a big
they
one.
wouldn't start the meeting because they're like, who is Cousin Johnny? And it was 10 minutes late and her boss is emailing like, can you get off this? Who is this? What's going on? And she's like, she didn't notice it until her boss was like, hey, like, what are you doing? And eventually I figured it out. And then her boss made a joke out of it. And I said the net gain out of all this was now we have more listeners for the podcast. So in the end, I thought it was actually a great thing, but
I think so too. Maybe this can be a big sponsor for your appearances going forward.
Yeah, you know what? We could do that too.
We could do that. So Cousin Johnny holding up big time audit meetings for one of the big companies. We're not going to say which one, of course,
yep.
But holding it up, how embarrassing. But what's not going to be embarrassing is the NFL content that we are going to bring. And let's get into it right now. You want to talk about the Giants going into the playoffs possibly? Or
let's
do we
it.
Want let's do that, then we'll get to the picks. The picks, of course, is the elite segment with two elite pickers, although I've been 3-7 the past 2 weeks. All right, let's talk about the Giants. So I told you I had a manifesto for them to make the playoffs at the end of the year, but then doing some further research, I actually realized there's a way that by tomorrow they can actually be sitting in that number 7 seed. So let's go over this, and I want you to tell me how realistic we think any of this is going to be. All right, so the Giants have to beat the Saints tomorrow. That's number one, okay? The Packers losing to the Buccaneers. Packers are currently in the 7th seed. The Rams have to lose to the Commanders. Seahawks lose to the Eagles. Falcons lose to the Panthers. The Panthers are a team, for some reason, I picked 3 weeks in a row.
Okay with that.
All right, so which of those is the most unrealistic?
I think the Commanders losing to the Rams is the most unrealistic. I actually think that I call me crazy. I think that I'm not taking the Panthers, and you know, spoiler alert for my top five, but I'm not taking the Panthers this week, but I do think they have a realistic chance of winning this week. I mean, I don't know. That's a tough one either way, but I don't think they clinch it this week or they get into or tied for seventh this week based on all those scenarios, and that's a lot to happen.
Right.
I think the Rams roll this week, actually. That's going to be
that's
we'll
a
talk
little
about
preview that. For later. Yeah. So, all right. So realistically, the Rams and the Falcons – or, sorry, the Rams losing and the Falcons losing, which would mean the Panthers and the Commanders winning. The Commanders are just a dead team walking there with Rivera. So we don't think that those two things are going to happen. But as crazy as that would have been looking back a few weeks ago, you know, about a month ago, throwing the bye in the mix there too – that the Giants could be in one of these playoff spots after tomorrow. And it just has got you thinking, like, they lose to the Jets by 1 second because they would have won in regulation if there was one less second on the clock. They lose to the Bills by one freaking yard. And if either one of those two things happen, they're in one of these playoff spots right now anyway.
They're still at 7-6, I believe, correct?
Yeah, if both of those go their way, then, of course, they'd be at 7-6 instead of 5-8. If one of those go their way, they're at 6-7 in one of these spots. And it's been consistent with what people thought at the beginning of the year that the end of the NFC, including that number 7 seed, would be a pretty bad team. Now here's my unrealistic. We're gonna not even say unrealistic. Possible prediction for the Giants to get into the playoffs at 8-9. All right. So I want you to hear me out. I want you to critique me. Jump in at any moment if you think anything I'm saying is not gonna happen. All right. And this is coming from the fans' perspective, but also like kind of somewhat neutral observer's perspective as well. So number one, the Giants have to go 3-1 down the stretch of these four games. They've got to beat the Eagles one time, that means. Not both. They got to beat them once. And I think that the chance that they have to win is, is the first game that they play, because the Eagles will be coming off a Monday night game at Seattle where they travel back.
Yep. Agreed. It's hard because you've been talking about the Eagles so much in such a favoritism way that now that you're finally talking against them and having, you know, it's weird to see that. That's why you're probably choking so much.
Probably. It's not that I think that the Eagles are unbeatable. It's not that when I was hyping them up, I thought that they were the best team out there. But I thought that what I saw was really good.
Mm-hmm. Stand by, folks. This is not a drill.
No, this is not a drill. All right. So we were talking a little too fast. So I ended up muting myself. We ended up taking the video back away, but we are definitely back ready to roll here. So my apologies for any type of technical difficulties. All right. So with the Giants, they got to beat the Eagles. Like I said, the best chance that that is going to happen, like I said, is after they play Seattle this week and they come back on Monday night.
Nope.
All right. Now.
Agreed.
All right, so is that on the table, though, that they can beat the Eagles?
I think so. I think this is a huge – like, it's, Eagles got really hit with a horrible end of the season schedule. I mean, they've had some tough games. They must be tired, too. I mean, the amount of traveling, too, back and forth. Now they're going all the way to Seattle, coming back, back to the East Coast. That's a tough stretch. And this is now – it's not a must-win game because, that, obviously, anything can happen once they get into the playoffs. But I mean, they lose this week. Dallas wins this week. All of a sudden, they're out of the one seed, right? And they're, you know, and they should be fine in that five seed if that's what happens. But all of a sudden, like, you have an Eagles team that would, if they lose on Monday night, would that be three in a row, right?
Yeah. Ever since I started blowing smoke up their rear end, is really when they, you know, started to go for the wrong way.
Right. But that's so yeah. Come off that, like, especially if they lose. If they lose against Seattle on Monday night, the Giants beat the Saints. This is an absolutely huge game. I think it's possible. I don't. I think Giants beat the Saints this week anyway. But at the same time, I think it's doable.
Yeah, we'll get to the Giants versus the Saints. All right. So the Giants possibly beating the Eagles one game is definitely on the table. All right. Now, from here, and I wrote this down, so I made sure I did my homework. Let's see if I can get through it without coughing up a lung here. But that's another story. You're not going to have it in a position for week 18 where the Eagles play the Giants, where it's a game that the Eagles don't need, because right. Either they're going to need it for the 2 seed, the 1 seed, or possibly even the 3 seed. Should they win the division and Detroit be breathing up them, and Detroit's up 21-0 last time I checked on the Broncos. So if Detroit would run the table, they might have a tricky scenario there.
21-7 now, but
21-7. Okay. Thank you for the update there. So that game is going to be meaningful. I thought maybe you'd have it where that game was meaningless for the Eagles, but it's going to be meaningful in some way. Like I said, whether for the 1, the 2, or possibly even the 3, if they win the division, Dallas falters and they've got a chance, you know, just to get the number 3. So from there, you're going to need ideally the Cowboys to go 2-2. And this is kind of like on a different tangent, but it's to keep the Eagles playing for something and not playing for, you know, nothing, I guess. Although you'd want them in an ideal world, you'd want that week 18 game to be able, for them to be able to win. So let's take the Cowboys out of this. All right.
But I'm just going to say this. I mean, the Cowboys, they have Buffalo this week, Miami next week, and then yeah. Wait, like that's a stretch too, right there. Like, you know,
right.
If Dallas goes 3-0 at this stretch, I mean, you can't really say they're not the best team in football, alongside maybe the Niners. But
the Niners are in there for sure.
I mean, that's a really tough stretch.
Right. Okay. So
anyway, yeah.
Let's get to the real meat of this, because the Cowboys is kind of an ancillary part of this. So in my scenario, you have an unprecedented 6-way tie for the number 7 seed. Okay. 6-way tie. The Giants, the Bucks, the Rams, the Seahawks, the Saints, the Packers. All finish 8-9. When you're trying to break a tie between 6 teams, so the rule is 3 or more, you go to record played amongst those teams. So in the essentially the, you know, they're your record against those 5 other teams, all right?
Like round robin-ish, yeah.
Yeah, round robin kind of. And of course, 2 of those teams, the Rams and the Seahawks, same division, they have more games than anyone else. But in this scenario, the Giants would have beaten the Rams, the Saints, and the Packers, okay, going 3-1 with their only loss to the Eagles. So much to even get out here. Losing to the Seahawks, that would put them at 3-1. The Packers would be 2-2 with losses to the Bucs and the Giants, wins over the Saints and the Rams. If the Bucs beat the Packers and split with the Saints, they're 2-1, with their only loss being to the Saints.
Right.
Seahawks would be 1-2 after they beat the Giants, two losses to the Rams. It's going to be horrible audio. Saints would need to then lose a Week 16 game to the Rams to keep everyone there at 8-9, not 9-8. This would put the Saints at 1-4 in these games. Lost with a win over the Bucs, they would have lost to the Bucs, the Giants, the Rams, and the Packers.
Okay.
Then the Rams, finally, after all this, would have losses to the Giants and the Packers in this scenario, would put them at 3-2. 3-1 beats 3-2. Giants win that tie. Even if you needed to default to the next scenario of conference record, Giants would be 7-5 in the conference. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's outrageous that it's even a thing, considering how abysmal the start of the season was for them. I mean, you know, they were 2-8. Now they won 3 in a row. Think of where we were like 4 weeks ago, where like, fire everyone, you know, get the, what's going on? You know, Danny Jones, once he gets out for the year, like, we have absolutely, you know, tank for the rest of the season. Now we're talking about there's possible a 7 seed. What? I mean, it's crazy how much a season can really change in a matter of just weeks. It's going to be a wild ending is what I think. It's going to be fun to really see what the last couple of weeks is going to hold. Anything's possible. That's my thought.
Any given Sunday, you got to go 1 week at a time, though. You have, oh, the G-Man hat. I got a Yankee hat on, but that's okay.
Show my bald head instead.
There you go. Right, yep. But you got to go one game at a time. And I understand the Tommy Cutlets thing. It's fun. It's the flavor of the month. He's played good. That's the thing. Like, you want to make jokes about it, but this guy's played good football. He's not turning the ball over, something that Jones has struggled with his entire time as the quarterback of the Giants. And DeVito, although he's 4 inches shorter than Jones, you're not losing much in the running ability. It's a guy who ran a 4.66 40. So he's playing good football. He can take off and run. I don't think he's a future superstar, but he's earned himself, you know, a couple more years in the NFL for sure, and makes it an interesting situation that should you sneak into the playoffs, which, again, is asking a lot. But do you want Jones in there, the turnover machine, or do you stick with DeVito?
Yeah, you got to stick with Tommy Cutlets. I mean, it's at that point, if they can sneak in like they did last year, and what, they pulled off the win against Minnesota last year, and yeah, I mean, they got absolutely steamrolled, but if they can sneak into the playoffs after all it's said and done, I mean, Dable, I don't know if you could say, you can't say coach of the year, but like, man, I mean, that would be some effort by the team, really, you know, from 2-8 to, I guess, 9-8 at that point.
Right? 8-9. We're not being unrealistic here. We're already being somewhat unrealistic, but
yeah, anything's possible, man. It's such a good story that you're just choking yourself away.
It's unbelievable. So it's on the table.
All right.
Definitely on the table. All right. So let's go through a couple other things. Mm-hmm. I put a bunch of things on the agenda. The NFL touchback rule, where the guy's diving into the end zone, fumbles the ball out of the back of the end zone or kind of to the side of the end zone, the other team gets the ball. The NFL's considering changing this rule. What are your thoughts?
I don't know the specifics on this part. I know that the NFL really needs to take a dive this season at a lot of these rules. I mean, there's a lot of rules that are just, there were so many bad rough in the passer penalties the last couple of weeks, so many missed passing interference, or defense passing interference, that it's hard to watch, actually, some of the end of the games. I'm a big Mahomes guy. Couple of weeks in a row, last week was just stupid. I mean, he was just angry, right? That was, Tony was offsides, no questions about it. But honestly, I think the NFL really needs to look at a lot of these rules and just let's clean it up. I mean, get more people involved, and like get more people who are actually playing and talking about it compared to these top executives. And I don't know, GMs who are making these decisions on the rules. And I don't know. I think they need to make a change on that rule as well.
I think it's the consistency that people are looking for, because there's videos where Tony was offsides like six times, but they never called it.
Right. True. True.
We might have to take away the video from this podcast, because I'm just, this is just
no, a mess. We want to see it.
Talking is just like, it's just something I'm struggling with. So yeah, I would say it's such a punitive thing. I mean, so I was trying to think of an analogy for you as a tennis player, right?
Sure.
And it's almost like if you double fault and it also hits the net, right? So it hits the net, but somehow you still double fault where it goes over on the other side.
Right.
You don't just get 1 point. The other person doesn't just get 1 point, they get 2 points. So instead of it being love, it's now love 30, because it's so punitive in that situation. And that's what it's like here. You fumble the ball over the goal line and it's a touchback, but if you fumbled it at the one, you still would get the ball at the one.
Right. Yeah, so, it doesn't make sense.
Right. Totally. I think that if they look to, even if they say you get the ball at your own 20, it's an improvement. But I think even like your own five, not your own 20, I'm sorry, at the opposing 20, I think that's a good rule.
Yeah, start the right.
That might even be a little too harsh too. I think maybe the opponent's five is fine if you fumble in that scenario.
Yeah, I agree.
So I think that would be definitely something going in the right direction. And then a couple more of these. Bill Belichick, back with New England or somewhere else? And if somewhere else, where so?
I think he rides into the sunset. I mean, he's accomplished so much as a head coach. Obviously, he started as a poor head coach back with the Browns. And what does he have to prove? I mean, at this point,
I don't think
what
he was a poor head coach, though. I mean, he beat Parcells in a playoff game when Parcells was with the Patriots.
He has nothing left to prove at this point, considering what he's accomplished with the Patriots. He's an early – what is he, 73 right now?
Yeah, he's early 70s. Yeah.
Early 70s, right? What do you have to do at that point, right? Do you really want to spend another 5-6 years starting to rebuild rebuild your dynasty here? What are they going to do next year? I mean, Mac Jones obviously has to go. Zappe is pretty garbage too. I mean, they need a full rebuild. So do you want to be a part of that, or do you want to take your accomplishments, do what, I don't want to say swallow your pride, but I think he does ride off into the sunset at this point. I don't think he comes back.
I think he's coaching the Chargers, but he's got to make a big concession that he can't be the GM also. So he's got to find someone who can do that job for him that he trusts, which might be tricky for him.
That would be huge. I mean, is that an inside source, or is that just a Schloss prediction on what's going to happen?
No, just a prediction.
All right. Fair enough. All right.
All right. Let's get into the picks now, because I can only talk for so long here. I don't know what's going on in this scenario. Just a little winter bug, I guess, going on here. All right. So let's go with the picks. I'm getting into this first. All right.
Let's do it.
This is a Cousins clash.
Cousins clash.
Cousins clash. Browns -3. Browns -3. I think the Bears are too public here. I think they're getting too much love. I understand it's Joe Flacco, right?
But what, like, talk about that. What do you mean, though? So to tell me why you think the public is getting so much love compared to, like, where that line started, where it is. Because that started – let me just talk about it. The line started at 3.5, right? So where is it now? It's 3. It hasn't moved too much, right? So it doesn't mean that the – it doesn't mean the pros are totally hammering that money. It can't really go much less. So they can't really say an 8-5 Browns team is going to be that much better than a 5-8 Bears team, right? So it's pretty much a pick 'em at this point. So you're not considering it's about 2 or 3 points.
I don't like trendy dogs. That's the thing. The Bears are way too trendy of a dog. I do not like trendy dogs. I'm the same guy who likes to bet the least trendy dogs. Like, I bet the Bears earlier in the year against the Raiders when the Bears started that Division II guy that no one ever heard of. And I said, I'm not laying points on the road with whoever was playing for the Raiders. Was it Garoppolo? I don't know. Whoever it was. Doesn't matter. So, yeah, I don't like trendy dogs. So, no Bears. I'm on the Browns. You're on the Bears.
I'm on the Bears. I mean, you're going to say Flacco with three and a half points against a non-injured QB. Like, get out of here. Come on. Like, the Bears are playing a lot better.
Flacco's moved the ball. That's the thing. Flacco's moved the ball. Right. He's coming there. He's slinging the ball all over the field. And it's not like the Browns don't have guys to throw to.
Yeah, but at the same time, like I wrote down a couple of their last games, right? Browns defense the last 3 weeks allowed 29 points, 36 points, 27 points, right?
It's been bad for a team that I understand is, you know, all that. But I think Flacco is actually a pretty big improvement even over what Deshaun Watson was giving them earlier in the year.
Well, I guess you've been coughing too much. I think it's getting to your head.
It might be.
Yeah, I mean, they started off. They were a fantastic story at the beginning of the year. They've been plagued with so many injuries, the Browns. I mean, their offensive line is, like, totally decimated. Obviously, no Nick Chubb, no Deshaun. You're going to say Njoku is going to be the star of the team right now, and Joe Flacco is going to take them to to win this game? No.
All right, so we're heads up. I'm laying the points with the Browns. You're taking the points with the Bears.
He's choking, cuz.
Right. All right, so that was my pick. You're on the box now.
All right. Let's go. That's our only Cousins clash.
Right.
I guess we'll go back. All right, I'm going to go Tennessee -3 or 3.5, wherever you see that line, against the Texans. So
give me a number real quick.
We'll stick with 3.5. That's the one I saw most recently. I don't care if it's a push or not. So we'll say Tennessee -3.5.
Okay. Well, it can't be a push then if it's -3.5.
No, I'm saying I don't want to say 3 because I don't want to get a push for this part. So yeah, Tennessee -3.5. They opened +2 Sunday night, you know, before obviously CJ got his concussion. I'm just going to say I feel confident with Vrabel under a field goal. Titans 4-1 this year so far at home. You know, they're playing really well. Yes, huge emotional win last Monday night against Miami. Typical time for them to come down and come back to earth. But at the same time, is Davis Mills – or no, actually, it's not Davis Mills. It's – what's his name? Case Keenum. He's actually going to get the start. So I don't trust a Texans team that is very beat up. I think their story is over. They had a, you know, very weird start to the season. I think next year is the year that we see them really try to take over the South. I just think they're a year early on this, but, you know, Tank Dell out for the year. I think Dalton Schultz is going to be out, CJ Stroud out. Nico Collins is banged up. Like they're hurt right now. So, yeah, give me the Titans -3.5. Derrick Henry, give him the ball 75 times. Who cares? Give it to Spears for cheers as much as you want.
I'm going to be honest. If you're seeing 3, I think you got to take it at 3, not 3.5.
3. It gives me an advantage, so I'll take it minus 3.
We'll go 3. 3 is out there. It's not like, you know, you're coming up with some fugazi line saying pick them or something, you know.
-3 it is. It's the stamp on it.
All right, so next one. I'm going to get into one that's not one of our – because we do have 2 family plays. So Packers -3 for me, all right? Listen, Jordan Love last week against our Giants led his team down the football field. It's not his fault they lost. How about the defense makes a stop against Tommy Cutlets?
Tommy Cutlets.
He did not do that. Bucks were lucky to win in Atlanta last week. I think I'm fading the narratives around both teams, meaning the narrative that Love sucks and that the Bucks are great. Give me the Packers -3. What say you?
I was big on the Bucks beginning of the week. The more I've thought about this, I'm leaning a little bit more towards the other side, but I'm still going to stay with the Bucks +3 in this one. The NFC South is really bad, right? And anytime the NFC South is 11-25 against the spread in non-divisional games, who does that help? That helps the Packers. Packers last week, obviously against the Giants, was a huge setup for kind of an in-between game. You know, now it's a huge game for the Packers. I mean, they really need to win this to keep in the wild card race. You know, but I think the Bucs still really have a lot to play for, too. It's a really big game for both of them. I think Baker can still sling it. I'm going to take the Bucs +3.
That's not an official play. You're just saying don't like my side of the game. All right, that's okay. All right, your turn. Give me a game.
Let's go Rams -6.5. This is my best bet of the week. If anyone wants to listen to it, Johnny, best bet of the week. You know, I think the Rams are really a top 10 team right now. Almost beat the Ravens last week. Really should have. Just a couple of bad bonehead plays towards the end of the game. They're really in control most of the game. I took them plus 7.5, and I felt really good about that. And obviously it landed, and that was a good pick. Rams are a dangerous team. I mean, I was thinking about this right before. If the Rams can get the sixth seed, right? Most likely, think about the playoffs. The Rams can get, or Dallas or Philly will get the five seed, right? They shouldn't have no, they'll have no problem with the NFC South winner. The sixth seed will most likely play in Detroit, right?
A lot of pressure on the Lions.
Right. I would take the Rams all day going to Detroit in that situation. Indoors, you get Stafford, a little Stafford Goff revenge game. I would say, but I mean, going ahead on that, the more reason why I want to take the Rams this week is I think they're heating up. McVay is a fantastic coach. Stafford's playing really well. Kieran Williams is healthy again. Kupp is playing better again. Puka obviously is fantastic. And the Commanders, they're just horrible. I mean, they're garbage right now. Worst defense in the league. Once they traded Chase Young and they're
sweat.
Yes. Yeah, they've been fantastic. They've been the opposite of fantastic. They've just been horrible. I mean, they've lost like 25 or more a couple times. A garbage team. Just, I think they're throwing – Howell is just such a wild card too. I mean, people are like, oh, maybe Howell can keep up. No, he's not keeping up. Give me the Rams 6.5. No questions.
I like that pick, but I just wonder why in the world it's only a 6.5 line.
I mean, because the Howell factor. I mean, he can still sling it, right?
Yeah, he was leading the NFL passing yards.
6.5 is a weird line because even if they're down 2 touchdowns, like that backdoor cover can happen pretty easily too.
Garbage time.
I don't think it's happening this week. Rams 6.5.
All right. So my pick is next. We're going to go with the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right.
I found it as high as getting 3.5, so I'm giving myself 3.5. Again, look in the where you want to play and find the number that works for you. It's out there. It's not a Fugazi line, so give me the Jags plus the 3.5. 67% of the bets, or sorry, 67% of the money with only 56% of the bets on the Jags. So that's one of the metrics that I look at. And point blank, I just think that Jacksonville needs this game more than Baltimore because I think the Texans are still in it. I think that, yes, Baltimore's got competition even from the Bengals who won today. They've got competition from the Browns, who I'm predicting to win tomorrow by at least 3. But I think the Jaguars need this game more. So I'm going to take that amount of points plus the fact that I'm home there. What do you think?
Yeah, and it's also – it's a tough game for the Ravens too. They're kind of going into it right now. They have a couple really tough games to end the season. Looking at the schedule right now, and they're playing the Jags. Then they go to the Niners next week. They're hosting the Dolphins week 17, and then they're hosting the Steelers week 18, which is never an easy game whenever they play the Steelers. So really tough end of the schedule. This could be a game where they kind of look the other way to get to play against the Niners, and that could be for the one seed. I'm with you. I like the 3.5. It worries me the health of Lawrence's ankle a little bit, but I like it, man. I like the – it's a pros dog, but I like it. I'll take the Jags 3.5.
All right, so you're supporting – that's not an official play, just to clarify, but you're supporting my official play.
Just lean for the cuz.
All right. Now, the next two are family plays. Let's go to the Buffalo Bills Cowboy game.
All right.
I found this as low as the Bills only laying 1.5. All right. We're on the Bills, America, for anyone who's listening, Canada.
Let's go. Europe,
whatever. We're both on Buffalo, the official team of New York, because the Jets and the Giants, despite their slim playoff hopes for the Giants, the Bills are the team of New York right now. At any rate, I was playing around with this little website called Sports Sequel. I think that's what it's called. And you can put in different, items for trends. And when it's week 10, or sorry, when a team has 10 or more wins in the last 4 weeks of the season and they're underdogs, they only cover 40% of that time. That team would be the Dallas Cowboys here. I wanted to get it more specific where the team they were playing against had 3 less wins than them, but I imagine it would have been more on our side in this scenario, meaning like a 10-win team versus a 7-win team this late in the season.
Right.
But the 10-win team is a dog. I think it says something, and I want to throw in one more factor here. The Cowboys, where they play at home, is turf. they do much better on turf. I don't have all the numbers in front of me, but they do much better on turf. They're now going on to grass in the winter. In Buffalo, it's not as much of a fast track. Josh Allen is Superman. I think that there's kind of a narrative building after this Kansas City win, and it's just a narrative. It doesn't help you, you know, when you're writing your tickets, when you pull up your app on your little phone. I think the narrative is building behind Josh Allen that he's going to take his team, and this is going to be the year that they win the Super Bowl after battling through all the adversity, all the tough playoff losses, you know, including, you know, two of them to the Chiefs. And this is the year he pushes through and gets his team to the Super Bowl. So give me the Bills laying the 1.5 against the Cowboys.
So not to poop on your parade, I'm pretty sure the Bills have turf. Just an FYI, I would double check that.
But
that's okay, because I was actually going to give you – I have the same exact stat, which kind of hurts us a little bit, but it doesn't. So the last 2 years, Cowboys have been 15-1 straight up at home, 12-4 against the spread at home. Last 2 years, 8-8 straight up on the road, 8-8 against the spread, right, on the road. You know, considering how well they've been doing, I think that actually helps us. It's the opposite way if you look at the grass turf scenario, but that's okay.
Oh, no, they play on turf now. You were right.
They're moving to grass in a couple of years. But, you know, this is my point, right? I'm on the same thing. Give me the Bills up to 2.5, honestly. I think it was a huge win last week for the Cowboys against the Eagles, right? Huge statement game, kind of putting a stamp on them, saying, we're here right now. You're beat up.
They beat the Eagles at home all the time, though. That was like 5 straight that they've beaten the Eagles at home.
I think it was a statement game for Dak either way. It's just a big spot. I think it's a classic spot for the Bills. Honestly, if the season ended right now and the Bills were in the playoffs, I would take them to win the Super Bowl. That would be my pick. Or to make it to the Super Bowl, excuse me. I would take them to win the AFC. Considering how everybody else is playing right now, I think the Bills are the most complete team in the AFC. It's just they had a lot of bad losses in the beginning of the season, too. Close games that they lost.
Weird plays.
Yeah, I mean, not bad.
12 men on the field.
Yeah. Right. Not. I shouldn't say bad losses. Close losses is a better term. I think if – I'm just going to give a couple of bets right here. If you think that the Bills are going to win this week, whoever's listening out there, take this and run with it. And then give me your commission once you hit this. Take Josh Allen to win MVP. Take the Bills to win the AFC East, and take the Bills to win Moneyline this week. Take it to the house. You will thank me later. If the Cowboys blow them out, I'm sorry, and then you could yell at me. But that's my pick of the week. I agree with you. They have a cupcake schedule after this. If they do beat Dallas. Josh Allen, he has the most touchdowns this year between rushing and passing. Why wouldn't he be considered that most valuable player, right? Going from 6-6 to what they would be, right? Come on. I mean, I would say 11 and, from 6-6 to 11-6 to make the playoffs at this point would be a phenomenal run. So
right, when they look dead, and you're not going to run to put it on Purdy at like +155, that's not good value. I'm not saying you can't win. Yeah. All right, so we're on the Bills together.
Correct. I agree.
And forget about my stats Bills about grass. That was not inaccurate.
Sorry, I mean to.
No, I got no. We got to give correct stats here. I got a little out of control. I don't know why I thought. I think I had in my mind because Philly plays on grass, and you know I live right outside of Philadelphia here. I think that's what I got in my head. So that's a bad job out of me. But the 10 game thing is legit. The 10 win thing, we last 4 weeks of the season is legit. We'll use that to our advantage. So we're on the Bills together.
Yep.
And the last family play.
Going to Buffalo.
All right. This number has moved away from us. It was Giants +6. We're going to still stick with it at Giants +5. This stat I'm pretty sure I have right too. Carr stinks as a favorite. All right. When his team is a favorite of more than 3 points, he's somewhere in the neighborhood of a little bit less than 40%. Dennis Allen, the head coach, he stinks as a favorite too. I don't have the exact number, but I know he stinks as a favorite. Way too many points, even at 5.5.
6-16.
I'm glad someone's got it. Yeah, you really want to go again. You really want to open up your little app on your phone, run to the window, and say, I'll back Carr laying 5.5 points. I'll back Dennis Allen laying 5.5 points. I don't think so. It's way too many points to lay with such a sus team. I haven't used that word sus in a while. The Saints are sus AF. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Give me Giants plus. I don't know where you see plus five, but I saw plus 5.5.
Five and a half. I see.
Yeah, I'd say let's stick with the Giants plus 5.5. I'm looking at it right now. I see 5.5.
Yeah, 5.5's out there on BetMGM. I don't have BetMGM, but it's out there. If you want the Saints, you can actually get them at 4.5 on PointsBet, which I believe is now called Fanatics.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I'm taking the Giants plus 5.5 for sure. None of this Tommy Cutlets. Give me the Gobble Ghoul. No, I don't need that. It's more – honestly, this is more of a fade of what you just said. It's more of Dennis Allen. It's more of Derek Carr. I mean, once he gets to the red zone, turns into a pumpkin. So I think a lot of a lot of field goals this week. It's going to be a weird game. I mean, I think the Giants can really control this game. I think it's going to be a close game. I don't think that, honestly, if you look at the stats last week, the Saints should have lost and they should have lost to the Panthers, right?
They blew them out kind of too. Like it wasn't all that close.
Yeah, just a lot of weird turnovers by the Panthers, but it wasn't really that close. The Panthers had better stats across the board. So you look at that. I mean, you know, granted, it's just on paper, right? Just stats, but
right. They missed the short field goal, like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, the Saints' run defense has not been good. They're in the beginning of the year, they started off really a strong defense. I think, you know, let Saquon run 20-25 times tomorrow. Like, let him do his thing. Let Tommy just manage the game. You know, get his runs when he needs to. No turnovers, right? That was the biggest thing we talked about with Danny Dimes, right? Like, just don't turn the ball over. Let Derek Carr go down to the red zone. Let him get 3 points. Let a few missed field goals come. Keep him out, and then get your couple touchdowns, and we keep it within at least 5.5. But I'm hoping – I'm going to put a little on the money line as well. You know, I'm not going into are the Giants going to make the playoffs because there's just so many freaking factors that go into
there's
that.
There's a lot of variables, as I tried to get through as I coughed up a long reading, trying to read the whole list.
That's okay. But, yeah, give me the Giants 5.5.
All right, so we're on that together. All right, so the G-men. All right, so my 5 picks, and then you'll give yours, and then the Zoom's going to kick us off because I ain't paying for premium. I didn't even want to pay the $6 today for Peacock to watch my Arizona Wildcats, who were number one, lose to Purdue at number 3. But that's a story for another day. Browns, -3. Packers, -3. Jags, +3.5. Giants, +5.5. Bills, -1.5. Johnny, give yours real quick.
I got Giants, +5.5. Bills, -2. Tennessee, -3.5. Rams, -6.5, and Chicago, +3.
In a Cousins clash. All right, we'll see you.
Push.
All right, we'll see you later, everyone. Schloss Rant Live, Philly Suburbs. Cousin Johnny from the WAP up there outside of Poughkeepsie, New York, 90 miles or so north of New York City. Let's go G-Men tomorrow.
Let's go. Good night, everybody.
Peace.